A Jew lives differently, a Jew dies differently, and a Jew is buried differently. We'll focus on the latter statement. As we saw, Avram spent a lot of time and a lot of work looking for a burial plot for Sarah Imeno. And that's continued throughout the generations, that throughout Jewish communities, we always have our own Jewish cemeteries, and usually many different cemeteries. So it goes back, the Torah tells us, Kavar tikbareno bayom ahu, the double language, you shall surely bury. So Kavar tikbareno bayom ahu, interesting enough, is talking about haruge beistin. It's talking about basically Risham, people who are killed by beistin. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Nigmar Hadin, the sixth parak, goes into all the different categories. You have different cemeteries and with different people which do different aveiros, chayev skila, etc. So really the biblical halacha is talking about someone who's killed by beis din for certain acts, so they have a separate cemetery or they have an obligation. So that's the clear biblical imperative. How do I know a regular person who dies? They have to be buried. So they have a shar meisim minalan. How do we know they're the meisim? So they have a The Meshech Chachma, others point out, it's from the double Lashon HaPasuk, because how does it work? Someone who's killed by Beis Din, apparently, assuming they weren't set up, they were a Rasha. So once the body decomposes, and that's the purpose of burial, that's the goal, the quicker the body decomposes, the quicker the atonement. So once the body decomposes, they take the bones from the Haruge Basin and they move them into a regular cemetery. In other words, so for me, we see a regular person is no worse than a Haruge Basin who got kapara. So therefore, they point out that that's Shar Mason from the double language in the Pasuk, Kavar Tikbarenu. The Pasuk is talking about people killed by Basin, and the second cover means Shar Mason, the regular people are killed, the regular people are buried. So, maybe Yisrael wants a coffee. Or maybe sure. maybe Bela.
A little bit of coffee,
I figure you're picking Bela, you needed a drink. So they point out that the Gemara also in Sanhedrin talks about what is the nature of the din of Kfura. Is Kfura, because the Gemara has two languages. Minayin, from where do I know that Kfura is Minat Torah? Or where do I know what's the source of Kfura? And the second language of Gemara is Remez with Kfura. Where's the remez? So the Rishonim worn out, that's the machlok. Those are 2 days in the Gemara, whether Kvura is a biblical mitzvah. Again, so everyone agrees on Haruge Beis Din, it's biblical because that's the Pasuk. What about Char Mesim, regular people? So according to one opinion in the Gemara, it's biblical. According to the other opinion, it's only rabbinical. It's only learned out from Haruge Beis Din. In fact, the Gemara goes through what is the purpose of Kfura? Like, who are we doing Kfura for? So obviously for the dead person, but it's not as simple. The Gemara goes, basically to paraphrase the Gemara says, is the purpose of burial, is it Kavod HaChayim or Kavod HaMeis? You can bring a seat over. Yeah, Kavod HaChay or Kavod HaMeis? Is the purpose of burial, is it honor to the dead? Obviously, or is it honor to the living? The Gemara goes, what's the practical difference? Either way, you have to do burial. So the Gemara talks about, does a person have the opportunity to say, I don't want to be buried. I want you to throw my body to the vultures. Do I have a right not to be buried? So the Gemara says, if it depends.
Or
if
cremation,
the,
you may say.
Yeah, well, get to cremation. That would be the practical question. But so if the issue is covered on maize, if it's honor to the dead, then I have a right to decide my honor, or at least we can entertain that. But if it's Kavod HaChai, if it's the relatives, the family, the kids, then you have no say in the matter. So obviously I like pointing out, if your parents come down to you after the dead and tell you what to do, maybe you want to listen to them. But in terms of Kavod, in terms of, that's the Gemara. So that's the Gemara. It depends if it's Kavod HaMei, so then maybe he has the right to be mochel, to forego it. If it's Kavod HaChai, he doesn't. So Gemara has the same discussion by eulogies. Do you have a right to forego your eulogy? So again, so the Gemara says the same issue. if it's for the honor for the living, then they could, you know, you have no right to decide it. If the dead person has no right to decide whether you can forego it. But if it's kavod ames, so we make a split regarding eulogies. So strictly speaking, we say one has the right to forego eulogies. So pashtus, that means it would be kavod ames. In other words, a person has the right to say, of course, as always, you don't really have much of a say in the matter, because once you're dead, it's whatever your kids are going to do. It's going to make, so hopefully they'll listen to you, or depending on the case, maybe they won't, depending what you ask for. But so if it's, but for eulogies, strictly speaking, in fact, in Hasidish circles, they don't do eulogies for different reasons. They feel we don't know how to give appropriate eulogies today. So if you can't do an appropriate eulogy, so then better not to do it. But on the other hand, we have a mitzvah to do eulogies. So therefore, we feel our minhag is you do the best you can. You try to give a good eulogy, and etc. So, however, regarding, let's say, a king or someone who, let's say, is in a prominent position, so that the post, I think it was the case with the Noda B'Yehuda, with the Panei, two great gedolim, one left, I don't want to give, make sure you don't give me a eulogy. And of course, the person got up and gave him a eulogy, because he said, it's not your honor, it's kavod haTorah. If you're the Gadol Hador, if you're the leading Torah scholar, if you're the prime, you know, you have some prominent position, so it's not you, it's the king, it's kavod haMalchus that demands it. So except for special situations, really we assume eulogies you are allowed to forego, that you don't have to give a eulogy. However, regarding kfura, regarding burial, we come to the opposite conclusion. One does not have a right to forego.
What about if a king died on Tu B'Av? Like any of the kfura is on Tu B'Av. You can't do a eulogy on Tu B'Av, right?
So Jason's asking, there's certain days of the year that we don't do eulogies, at least in theory. We don't. What we say is, in fact, it happened. My mother passed away on, it was Purim Katan, which is also a day that you don't do. But I remember I was walking in, that morning, I was Purim time. I just went to visit my daughter in Israel. And I was walking in Me'er Sharim, Geula, and you know, unfortunately, there are a lot of poor people around asking for money. So, I mean, tzedakah is a good thing, but the fact that they're poor is the sad thing. And so I heard the guy was saying, Purim Katan today. All right, he reminded me. I'm thinking, why in the world, why is every ani, like, and I realized, of course, because the commentators point out, Purim Katan has like a din of Purim. On Purim, the lacha is, any ani, besides the general mitzvah of giving charity, usually, you know, you can ask some questions, make sure it's a reputable source you're giving to, but by Purim, any ani that opens up his hand, you should give to. So that's why, I remember walking in, and then that day, you know, my mom passed away, and I flew home, and we did, so I had it was Shushan Purim, where I did the action. So really, strictly speaking, that's the day. So I said, of course, there's no eulogies today, so I'll just talk about praise of my mother. So, you know, so people get out of it today, even Rosh Chodesh, so practically speaking, they probably do something like that. But he's just many, on a day, and it could be kavod haMalchus without way anyway, the minhag of not doing a eulogy. So, yeah.
I think the expression that was used is, we don't give eulogies on this day, but if I were to have given a eulogy, this is what I would have said.
You know, however you want to phrase it. You know, either way you can do it, but in most places they'll still, what you do is you give a shorter one. You know, you don't give it the same way, and you make it a little, you know, but everyone gets, it depends also where. The minhag in different places. If it's in Eretz Yisrael, it's in New York, if it's in Hamilton, you have different minhagim in different places. But so they point out, so the Rambam seems to ignore, so the Rambam writes, let's say someone says, my mind, someone says, I don't want to be buried. Let's say they want to be cremated, or we'll see if cremation fits into that or not. If you cremate someone, is that still burial? That we'll have to discuss in a minute. But let's assume, without getting into cremation for a minute, let's say someone says, I don't want to be buried. So the Rambam's pretty clear. He says, Ein Shomin Lo, do not listen to him. But to the Lecha Mishnah, the commentators in the Rambam ask, like, he ignored the whole Gemara. Why did he say, he should have said, it depends. He should have said, if it's kavod hames, if it's honor to the dead, then he has a right. So the Rambam could have said, I paskin, it's kavod achai, and that's why he can't. But Rambam just writes, no questions asked. So how does he explain the Gemara? So the comedy is great. No, really the Rambam paskins that Kfur is biblical, even on regular people. And therefore, there's nothing to talk about. It's a mitzvah in our Torah. You have to be buried. It's like I can't say, you know what? I don't want to put on tefillin this morning. I mean, you could say it, but it doesn't take away your obligation. I don't want to keep Shabbos this week. I don't want to keep kosher. You could say anything you want, but it's not binding. So same thing here. What's it talking about? You have a mitzvah in our Torah of burial. You have to do it. So what the Gemara is talking about, according to the, because we have a discussion in the Gemara, Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, whether we're darshinan taima dekra, which means, could I take a reason for a mitzvah and then limit or expand the scope of the mitzvah? So for instance, the case the Gemara, the Torah talks about is a widow. Presumably a widow is poor because, especially back in those days, unless you were independently wealthy, you know, the husband's usually supporting you, so therefore if you don't have a husband, the Torah says you can't take you can't take the last pillow from her, you can't take her coat because maybe that's the only coat she has. So the Gemara raises, what about if she's a wealthy widow? She had a nice life insurance policy, she was independently wealthy, so then are you allowed to take collateral from a wealthy widow? So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, eino darshina and time in the crowd. We can't take the reason for a mitzvah and then limit the scope of them or expand it. And Rav Shimon says, yes, you're allowed to take the reason. So it's a machlokas in general, Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Shimon. So we generally pass it like Rabbi Yehuda, that we can't take the reason. So that's how the Lecha Mishnah explains. He says, the Gemara is only, if you assume Kfura is rabbinical, then we can discuss why did the rabbis make up this mitzvah burial. Is it covered achai, honor for the living, honor for the dead? But Rambam's clearly passing it's biblical, so there's no discussion. Everyone agrees, ain't shomim lo. So which leads us to the question of cremation. What happened to clearly in Jewish law, cremation is prohibited. You can't, if you ask to be if he has to be cremated, obviously it's up to the person who has the power of attorney legally to decide what's going to happen. So I'm talking from a Jewish perspective, and I've dealt with many cases. Many people don't even know there's a concept of a Jewish burial. Someone passed away and I was just speaking to him. So, we're in a non-denominational cemetery. They had no idea there was a concept. So certain people you could explain to and they'll change. Other people, well, they'll say, well, that's what my parents wanted, and that's it. You know, so I understand from their point of view, so you try to do your best. Ultimately, a person's going to do what they want. But from a Jewish law perspective, one has an obligation of burial. So, and if someone says to be cremated, you don't listen. So the question is, what happens? Then the further question is, if they are cremated, what about Shiva? Can I sit Shiva on them and all the other things? But so the Rav Chaim Ozer Gruzinski, with the Gedolim in Europe, he it was probably a prevalent then during his time. He says one does not fulfill the mitzvah it's us to do, and one does not fulfill the mitzvah of Kfura. Why? Because he says it's like panim chadashos. Once you burn a body or you however you do it, it's just ashes. So ashes are no longer you. In fact, it's in the Gemara. Whether ashes of a dead body, if you have, let's say, ashes of a dead body lying around, can a Kohen come in contact with those ashes? So it's actually a machokas in the Gemara. We assume yes. We assume they are tahar. So therefore, the Rav Chaim, so we see they're no longer considered part of the body. So even if you took the ashes and put them in the ground, you would not fulfill, you are mavato a mitzvah asei of pura. And Rav Yaakov Emden disagrees. He also agrees not to do cremation, but he claims that if you do the ashes, perhaps you do fulfill them. It still has, in other words, the issue is, does it have a din of a mace still or not? Does it still have a status of a mace, of a dead body? So Rav Yaakov Emden tries to argue, maybe argues on the Matami also. So the standards are Rav Chaim Moser, but what's the practical difference? So we have another halacha. Ein kovrin sadik eitzel rasha. You're not supposed to bury a righteous person next to a wicked. Of course, who are us to decide who's right? So in general, we do is most, that's why most shuls have their own like burial place. So again, everyone in Addis is one person, everyone, so we don't get into who's around, you know, we go with, you know, unless there's clear-cut cases, we generally assume we're all in the same area. So the question is, so can you bury someone next to ashes? So it depends. If So let's say that person was a Russia or not. Let's assume he knew he was. So if you assume ashes are no longer the person, it's not an issue. But if you assume it still has the status of a mace, then it'll be an issue. But really it comes up today is, unfortunately, there's a lot of intermarriage. That's unfortunate. And when a big problem is going to come up is burial. Because on one hand, like, I don't mean people who converted, you know, that people who clear, no one, they never claim to convert, they're clearly not Jewish, and so the question, but they want to be buried next to their spouse, so that's a major problem today. So one of the suggestions is that if the non-Jewish spouse does cremation, so if you assume they're no longer the person anymore, so then you could bury the spouse, you know, but in terms of other issues, that depends on this issue. So we generally assume, like Rav Chaim Moser, that one does not fulfill the mitzvah of kfura. Of course, if a person was burned in the Holocaust or in a fire, of course you take the ashes and you burn and you bury them. But in terms of and today, you know, most people are doing it. It's not a rebellion. It's more they don't even know that, you know, they don't even know what the Jewish law, you know, indicates.
Essentially, I actually think when I was in the city, there was a Jewish guy.